Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You know, Fight Foam Blue Chew have been at it a long time. Maybe you've been at it a long time. Maybe you're lacking that motivation. Maybe you're lacking that confidence. You don't think you have what you once had. Blue Chew is here to get you there. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. You'll get your first shipment free of what? Well, it's a chewable tablet that has the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so it gets your performance ready to go. It's prescribed online. It ships straight to your door. You do an online consultation, and if approved, you'll be back to that main event level performance. Sometimes it's not even about performance. It's about that confidence. And Blue Chew is going to make sure that you have that. Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL. Your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. What is there to lose? BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to FIGHTFUL. Sean Rossap here. It is February 3rd, 2025. Hope you guys enjoyed your Royal Rumble weekend. I did not do a post show, so I'm going to talk a little bit about it here. We had a wealth of coverage on FightfulSelect.com. We had news on like five of the surprise Rumble entrants. If you're into that sort of thing, I know plenty of you aren't, and that's fine. But we also had a bunch of news today between Alexa Bliss's contract, Duke Hudson being released. There's just so much to get into here. And I'm excited to talk with you all about it. Also, if some not so great, or I mean, I would say not so positive news, but stuff that I, of course, we got to talk about. Janelle Grant, the amended lawsuit, as well as the Ring Boy scandal lawsuit moving forward as well. Of course, we cover those on our daily In the Weeds show now every morning on Fightful Overbooked. I spoke a little bit about those, but if you're here, leave a thumbs up, tap that bell for notifications, get your super chats, get your humper chats in. I want to thank our great moderator, Luis, for helping us out. I want to thank Phil and Iridian for doing that post show for the Royal Rumble. I joined them a little bit as well. I had to hit the road immediately after the Royal Rumble because for the first time in my, I think, entire pro wrestling coverage career, I got to drive home after a PLE. But by God, I'm here with you now. I'm on YouTube.com/Fightful. I am on a variety of X Twitter channels, Twitch, Facebook, all that stuff. You can send in a super chat here at YouTube.com/Fightful or a humper chat over at humperchats.com. That's our Streamlabs platform. And lots of exclusive news to get into, guys. We will always have the most exclusive news anywhere and no shortage of it today. Let's get into some of that. Fightful Select reported today that Alexa Bliss not only signed a new 5-year contract, she signed that contract on Saturday morning and then flew to Indianapolis. Even though Wade Barrett, very kind of him to highlight on social media that he was not speaking about me when burying dirt sheets. I mean, Mike and Dave didn't get that story wrong either. And I'm just like, go at them for something that they get wrong, but not something that they got right. These negotiations weren't an impasse. People said, well, how did they have the merch ready? Well, they had planned for her to come back a couple weeks ago, had the merch prepared, had some creative set, but there was an impasse. Specifically, that impasse came with Alexa looking at the landscape of the new deals and her representation, which was Paragon Talent Media, or Paragon Talent, which is Mojo, the former Mojo Rawley and Steve Kay, and looking at the nature of deals now and then saying, well, I do not want to be on my old deal. However, you look at how much time she had off, and WWE's approach was, well, we paid you for 2 years of maternity leave. We paid you for injury time as well. And they were wanting to stay on the old deal and wanted her to honor it. That didn't end up happening. WWE ended up giving her a new contract. She ended up taking the place of Shotzi, who was supposed to be in the Royal Rumble. I didn't hear of any like heat or anything like that on Alexa. There, most people were excited to see her and were bummed for Shotzi, but that's what you run into. Lots of questions about Drew McIntyre. I mean, he's just supposed to be on SmackDown from what I understand. He wasn't there tonight. That was legit, the story of him sort of storming through Gorilla and into the locker room, cursing a little bit. He was frustrated over LA Knight and what he believed was LA Knight taking his time preparing for his spots and basically delaying Drew's elimination. We had a bunch on that on Fightful Select. Drew was actually supposed to be eliminated by Damian Priest before Logan Paul got out there. However, that is not what happened. I don't think this is anything that's going to last that long. I'm sure they'll work together in the future, all that. But that is what went down. And I would imagine that that just gets rectified pretty quickly because, again, it seemed like more of a miscommunication than anything else. Duke Hudson, Fightful Select, confirmed today that he was removed from the internal rosters in NXT a couple weeks ago, and then quietly released. I confirmed this within the company pretty quickly after hearing this evening. Did not get a reason why, but it was a release. I don't know how long he has left or anything like that. I don't know if he ever, like the nature of whatever deal that he was on, because he got brought up to the main roster very briefly at one point, but I don't know that he had a new deal or anything like that. I'll work to find out more on that situation. The amended Janelle Grant lawsuit last week. Some new information that dropped in that. I wouldn't say new information. Everybody assumed that Brock Lesnar was the person being referenced in the lawsuit. That was confirmed. He wasn't named in the original lawsuit. He was named in this amended lawsuit. Also named. Now, they didn't really indicate the involvement of Michael Hayes, but said that Vince McMahon had Janelle Grant produce content effectively for Michael Hayes and a production crew. However, Michael Hayes' involvement, at least as far as I've read, because I have not read the complete amended complaint, is, you know, it didn't say that Michael Hayes spoke directly with her, if you understand what I mean there. And again, I am still working my way through that amended complaint, but that was filed last week, which you can kind of expect them to do during Royal Rumble week, WrestleMania week, when a lot of eyes are on WWE. That group that works with Janelle Grant understands how to sort of maximize eyeballs on that, and they comment on any number of things that come up regarding Vince McMahon or WWE. The Ring Boy lawsuit, that's going to continue. A court ruled 4-3 in favor of removing the limits of the statute of limitations on allegations of child sex abuse and negligence leading to abuse. The Baltimore Sun has an article on it. I saw that Brandon Thurston did post that a couple hours ago. I'll look into that after this show as well. But WWE, Monday Night Raw tonight. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We got plenty to talk about. That opening promo, Jey Uso. I saw so many people that were upset over the Jey Uso, like the Jey Uso Royal Rumble win. I was shocked by it. I've had like a million people say, "Did you know?" I had no clue. Zero inkling. I really thought it was going to be John Cena. I think it would make more sense for it to be John Cena, but I'm not upset, mad, bothered that it's Jey Uso. I think first-time winners are a good thing, especially ones that are white hot, especially ones that are unpredictable. I mean, even when good things happen in pro wrestling so often, and it used to happen way more, but so often you'll hear, that's just so predictable. That's so predictable. Jey Uso winning was not predictable. Now, I don't know how I feel about them having already done the Jey Uso and Gunther match. You could argue that it adds a little bit to the story, but I think it would have been a little bit better had Jey Uso not faced Gunther. I reserve the right to change my mind here. That could certainly change. But I feel like Gunther could have came out and said all the same things that he said had they never had a match. Although him saying, you're not exactly a challenge. You're no issue to me. This is not a feather in my cap. This does not help my legacy whatsoever. I could see his character saying that. And I mean, you see that across sports as well. Like John Jones wanted a legacy fight against a guy who you hadn't won in ages, right? Against Stipe Miocic. But with Gunther, you do believe that he is very legacy oriented. But what I like about what we saw tonight, specifically the Gunther element of this promo, was that based on his interaction with Sami Zayn last year, you wonder, okay, well, because Jey Uso, within the context of his character, came so close to defeating Gunther, is he fearful that Jey Uso will get the job done? Or is he really in a situation where he's like, you know what? I've been there, done that. I don't need to do that again. I don't need to climb that mountain again. In fact, it's not even a mountain. Wasn't that big of a problem for me. And then he legitimately doesn't want to face him. Or is there a little bit of fear in Gunther's character? Jey Uso had a very heartfelt promo. Talked about how the crowd got behind him. And man, again, I don't know how you could see how over he is with this audience following the Royal Rumble win and then say, well, that's the wrong decision. I could buy an argument saying there could be a better decision. And even that remains to be seen. Because does this add more luster to another WrestleMania match? Yes, of course it does. I always thought that John Cena getting his title shot by throwing somebody over a top rope worked a lot better than him pinning people in the Elimination Chamber, largely because of what he said himself on his during his promo on Raw when he showed up on Netflix before he left his retirement tour to go film the Matchbox movie. But he was like, guys, I haven't won a match in years. He basically said that he sucks and that he was going to have to win the Royal Rumble or the Elimination Chamber or Money in the Bank. And maybe he doesn't even do that. Because from what I understand, the WrestleMania plans have been pretty fluid. Not necessarily with him, but in general. You know, I can't necessarily speak to what is going to happen, but it seemed like they were headed towards Seth, Roman, Punk, which... Man, originally Punk was going to face like Rollins, then Gunther, then Roman. Now what is it? Now what is it? Guys, if you all don't mind, scoot over to my Twitter, retweet the various wonderful streams of which I have retweeted of this show, as well as our YouTube link. All that stuff greatly helps us. You leaving a thumbs up helps a lot as well. Sir Brendo says, where's your per host, sir? Any stream updates? I don't know what you mean, any stream updates. My cat is not here. I don't let them in while I'm streaming. Usually. Let me make sure I find my notes here. Here we go. Gabriel says, as a Mavs fan, I need Raw to distract me. Good show. Listen, the Anthony Davis disrespect is a little gross to me, man. Like, I understand. It's not Luka. And I'm sure Luke is going to get it together. He's one of the best players in the NBA. But, you know, working with LeBron, somebody who takes care of himself to that degree, is going to be great. But Anthony Davis is an outstanding player, especially when he can stay on the court. When he's able to remain healthy, which he has largely been able to do this year, he's phenomenal. I would argue that all around, this year, last year, are probably the best he's looked since, I would say, probably 7 or 8 years ago. And being able to stay on the floor, I would argue, since probably about 2016, 2017, and 2018. Jonathan Corona says, question for these production stages, who comes up with them for pay-per-view and Raw? Who came up with the stages? Is it Paul or Lee Fitting? It's a collaborative effort, but usually they have somebody go in and present them options. As well as and present them a lot of different possibilities as what they can do, and then they make a decision based on that. Big AB says, which Nord tier do you recommend for SmackDown and NXT on Netflix? Any of them that change your virtual location. So, I mean, that's pretty much the most basic you get. I mean, you go to nordvpn.com/Fightful, and I'll do the read later. But you can just click the Get the Deal button, and yeah, you're able to change your virtual location with the VPN at the basic tier. But you can go all the way up to Prime and have those as well. But yeah, you got all kinds of options over there. I'll tell you about them later on. KE775 says, since we're probably not seeing her at WrestleMania, do you think Becky's a major Raw after Mania surprise? Now, listen, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go as far as to say that Becky Lynch is not going to be at WrestleMania. In fact, they have discussed her plans for WrestleMania. I just don't think that they're anywhere near nailed down at this point. But she has absolutely been discussed for WrestleMania and a program leading into it. I just cannot reiterate enough that it is far from done. And they're going to have to come up with something creatively satisfying in that regard in order to get her on board, I think. A lot of people talking about the stream on Netflix. I think that's what Sir Brendo was talking about. Yeah, that was glitchy. That was glitchy for me towards the end. First time I've had that on Netflix so far. Nicholas says, love that an NXT star was runner-up and slash time record. Well, technically an NXT star was. Roxanne Perez is back in the fold on the main roster, by the way. She had been popping up there. I shouldn't say back in the fold. She is coming to the main roster. She alluded to it the other night, but I had been told in the weeks prior to the Royal Rumble that she was being planned for a call-up, and people there were just putting her over left and right. Like, not just from the Royal Rumble stance, but also the fact that she was main roster ready. The fact that she honestly had been for quite a while. I mean, she was no stranger to TV. She was ROH Women's Champion along the way. So, yeah, she's going to come in and make an impact. I don't know what brand or anything like that, but, yeah, I do think that she is going to be an immediate player on Raw or SmackDown. There were a lot of recaps of Braun killing iShow Speed. There were some people that popped big for that backstage. Like, a bunch of wrestlers were sending me my own clip before they realized it was my clip. And they were like, damn, he got destroyed. And he did too. These celebrity integrations are so different than what they used to be, right? Like, you know, we felt fortunate that Floyd Mayweather came in and worked one of the most basic wrestling matches ever. And we were all over the moon about it as wrestling fans. And like, I don't see a situation these days where they allow somebody to go in as unprepared as Tyson Fury and have the type of match that he had. But man, iShow Speed came in there. He did his stuff. He got some headlines, and then he got drilled, bro. Absolutely drilled. Sauron says, you can do the YouTube Live and Sour Graps with Alex and Kate and call the mother of all simulcast, or Sean Seize's Sour Graps. You know, that's a reference to the Death Rider stuff. I felt like when they seized the Superstation, it would have made a lot more sense if they promoted that for the last Rampage, right? Because they just did a promo that other time. And I think that affected their goodwill. DNC Digital says, Fightful Espanol followed me one step closer. We do have Fightful Espanol on Twitter. We are working on a Patreon, and basically Luis will translate some of that. And then if successful, we are going to look into rolling out additional content there. It's something I've wanted to do for a long time. Unfortunately, Luis has been with us so long that, you know, trust that guy with anything on our site, but we will look into rolling out additional content. Do you think there will be more call-ups or holding off? I'll find out more probably tomorrow or Wednesday, but I know Roxanne has been planned for quite a while.
And I mean, there's a name that I was surprised to see that would be spending time in NXT as well. Rafael Garcia says Sami Callihan had a great night as the hacker because Netflix was just glitchy. What are we doing with Carlito? He's just there for a PS5 and an Apple. They brought him to Indianapolis just to do media and 2K, which it did make sense for him to be on the 2K promotional side of things, right? Like, because he's always featured backstage with a PS5 or whatever. But I don't know. New Day were also in town, even though they weren't on the Rumble. But I don't know what they're doing with Carlito. Listen, I think he got a new lease on life whenever they put him with Judgment Day, because I don't think they had a ton of plans for him. What happened was he showed up in that Rumble and on Backlash, and he was in incredible shape, right? So they thought, okay, he got a big pop and he's in great shape. But then when you see him every single week and all that, well, I mean, there's it eliminates some of the luster. And I'm not acting like the man is without Riz, as they say, but like, dude never wrestles. He's just a character on the show. He hasn't wrestled on TV since November. So, I mean, it's not like he's featured very heavily on the program, but worthy of a spot on the show for sure. Elias joining AEW. I don't know. I did see the thing where Elias, now Elijah, was with the Righteous. And I think that is an incredible fit, especially if they wanted to do some sort of trios thing, of which has completely been neglected in AEW, completely been abandoned in AEW. And I've no clue, no earthly clue why they separated the ROH and AEW tag team or trios titles. It doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. None. Oh, man. So elsewhere with the Jey Uso stuff, Sammy approaches Jey backstage and Jey is like, man, I'm sorry. I had to do what I had to do. And Sammy doesn't hold it against him. Sammy gives him a big hug and is like, listen, I forgave you once. How am I going to hold this against you for the Royal Rumble? And this plays into what we saw later in the night, because while he is forgiving, someone else is not forgiving. Update on Vinci. I have not heard a peep regarding him since about mid-December. He was working dark matches and losing all of them, by the way. He worked like 3 weeks in a row against Apollo Crews on a dark match. He worked Baron Corbin in dark matches before Baron got let go. He was losing to Luke Gallows in dark matches. I have not heard a single thing about him, but I will start asking, because apparently, and I'm not saying he's been released or anything like that, I want to be clear, but listen, a release rarely goes under our radar for like 2 weeks, and Duke Hudson did. Lord Zyker says, I asked previously if you'd heard any plans on to keep the Winged Eagle around. You'd not heard of any chance they merge the Winged Eagle with the Undisputed title for a new one before Mania. I don't want to give people hope, but I would say there is a possibility of such. Obviously this Friday is going to be very telling regarding what Cody Rhodes has with him and what Cody Rhodes does, because like Cody Rhodes's title effectively represents the black WWE championship, the red and blue WWE Universal Championship, the combined gold undisputed WWE championship, and now the disputed Winged Eagle championship that was procured along the way. Parker Hines says, I thought the weakest part of the Rumble was Def Rebel. Their music is not it. I have been talking to a lot of wrestlers about Def Rebel, and those sentiments were echoed. A whole lot of wrestling fans that Royal Rumble is a very casual fan type of show, right? So this is also something that I hear about from my friends who know what I do for a living and don't watch a lot besides when it's Royal Rumble. And I think that's why the hell is somebody else's stream popping up on my X? But is also something that they noticed and something that they picked up. And that goes an awful long way in identifying stars and making them stand out, right? Like, it's something that is very, very important. And this Defrabble is not getting it done. Absolutely not getting it done. Any word on why no Solo in the Royal Rumble and what plans are for him going into Mania season? I am of the belief, Parker, Parker sent the last Humper chat. I am of the belief, personally, that they wanted to highlight Jacob Fatu. And I don't think that's an accident. And I've been starting to talk to people about that as well. Like, I really think that they wanted to put a spotlight on him. And I think that will wear at Solo. And I think, personally, as a prediction, not a report, that Jacob Fatu will sort of break away and break out of Solo's shadow, will be reminded that Jacob Fatu had to give up the tag team title and all that stuff and all the sacrifices that he made as a result of all this. And I think that that will carry over into WrestleMania, because I think we're looking at Jacob Fatu versus Solo. I think so, at least. Penta defeated Ludwig Kaiser. Another good one here, man. Ludwig Kaiser's so good. Penta's so good. This is the type of match that you need Penta to keep having, keep winning. He's over with the crowd. He is fitting like a glove in WWE. He showed up. He did media the other day, largely in English. They were requesting no Ray Phoenix questions, by the way. Worth noting. But then he crossed over Dominic, and it wasn't planned or anything, but they did a little confrontation there, which I thought was very, very good. I loved that they did that. That is such a nice little touch, and it was something that got a lot of buzz on my socials as well, that wouldn't have normally done much of anything, but damn, man. Like, he's very smart about that stuff. Penta ends up winning. Pete Dunne shows up afterwards. Now, Penta had the mic and was about to cut a promo. And then Pete Dunne's music hits, and they did, like, the shocked reaction. And, like, I love Pete Dunne as a performer. But I don't know how concerned Penta is supposed to be with the guy that just got slapped around by R-Truth. And has largely been like, don't call me Butch. Anything but that. Don't call me, but don't you dare call me Butch. One of those. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like that took a lot away from Pete Dunne. Now, maybe he's about to regain it. Maybe he's about to add a little more juice in that regard, because I'm interested in whatever he's got going on with Ludwig Kaiser, as Kaiser attacked afterwards as well. John Guada says Kaiser should lead his own stable with Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. I would like something with Pete Dunne. I think they could make a good team, because I don't know if anything in a singles capacity is in line for them, because obviously Ludwig Kaiser is not in line for world title contention. He just had intercontinental title contention. Unless he is to move over to SmackDown, I think he'd be best served along with somebody like Pete Dunne and something fresh. Like, he holds a little bit more cachet, does Pete Dunne, than Giovanni Vinci, who they clearly don't want to do anything with or can't do anything with. Do you think they're doing a last chance Elimination Chamber qualifier? I do. Speaking of, Finn scolds Dominic Mysterio. But Dominic got him a qualifier. And Liv says, you know what? We're going to listen to you, by the way. So chill out, bro. Jonathan Corona says, SRS, let's say Defrabble's gone. Who do you want to see replace them? Can be a band or a recording artist. No known band or recording artist. They need a production group. Like, that's the thing. I don't think it can be any one person like Jim Johnston. I see a lot of people say, oh, Jim Johnston. Man's in his 70s. That man's in his 70s. He'll be 73 this year. Mikey Ruckus does a great job for AEW, but I think it needs to be a group of people, some that specialize in rock music, some that specialize in hip hop music, some that specialize in electronic music. Like that way you can give a lot of different looks, and that way you don't have to have it go role model or damage control before everything. Like it needs to be identifiable with your brand, with your talent. At this point, the only real reason for the Titantron outside of showing promos up on that is having to put somebody's name up there because nobody recognizes your music. That's the biggest benefit of the typical set as of now. Lord Zypher says, I only ask to know I need to hold off on buying a replica Winged Eagle in favor of a Cody version of a Winged Eagle. Appreciate all your hard work. I would wait just in case because, I mean, so you know what the word used to be? It used to be, oh, well, WWE loves to sell that merch. They love to have the W in the middle of it. They love to have their brand front and center. What they love even more, though, is making money. Making money. You best believe if this regime of WWE had the Naomi Glow title, that would have been on Fanatics immediately. So anything they can do to sell a few more, they're going to do. That's the real reason they brought back the Winged Eagle. Tim says, hey, SRS, what brand do you think Alexa will be on? I think SmackDown because of the Wyatts being over there. Mod Evolve says, odds Josh Alexander is Ospreay's surprise opponent. Josh Alexander's contract is not up until next week. So anything's possible, but his deal isn't technically up until next week. We got Charlotte's promo. Oh boy, I got lots of thoughts on this. Lots of thoughts on this. She came out and she starts talking about how she didn't know if she would be back at all, about how extreme her knee injury was. And that's why, you know, I'm seeing videos in March or April last year of her doing bands and all that stuff and people going, oh my God, look how far ahead of schedule she is. Guys, the extent of her knee injury was so extreme. It legitimately was impressive she could return from it. Now, I mean, listen, no knee injury is unrecoverable these days, but it was vicious. They did, from the time she had that injury, WWE had straight up been telling me, we're not expecting her back in 2024. So she gets booed. And I saw a lot of people saying, oh, I feel bad for her. I feel bad for her. I don't. They need to lean into it. Stop trying to make Charlotte a babyface. Against Rhea Ripley, against Tiffany Stratton, it is not happening. Rhea Ripley interrupts, which, by the way, Charlotte says, you know, if this were a year ago, this would have really bothered me. But now it's not. Listen, she's been around long enough. It shouldn't have bothered her a year ago either. She knows the drill. She's a heel within the eyes of WWE until she hits that, you know, John Cena level of the audience just kind of recognizes what she has done for wrestling and how much she has given to it. But even then, she's got the image of who her father was and that getting her opportunities, despite the fact that she is a supremely talented woman that deserves the opportunity she's gotten. She's still going to have that sort of monkey on her back in that regard. So, John says Charlotte's about to get a Roman Reigns run, and that's a good thing. Give her a four horsewoman type stable. JC Jane and Fallon Henley would be great additions. I do think that Charlotte would stand to benefit from a group. I don't know if she's going to get a Roman Reigns run. I'm not sure what you mean by that. Like, what, like a long-term title feud? I don't know about that. That's a TBD to me. But Rhea Ripley came out and ran down their history and said, yeah, I beg you to choose me. Like, do it. And Rhea or Charlotte's like, nah, I don't know if I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to NXT. I'm going to see what's up with Julia. I'm going to go to Fridays. I'm going to see what's up with Tiffany. I'm going to see how things are going for them. I'm going to look at that. And I think that's a pretty telegraphed way of saying, well, she's not picking Rhea, but why wouldn't Rhea throw herself at Charlotte in that sense? Now, I think it's going to Tiffany, and I think they got to do the double turn that isn't really a double turn here. Tiffany Stratton is not going to be the heel in this feud. And if they think that she is not. Now, to me, it's a shame they already moved Bayley over because I think Bayley would be the perfect conduit for this. But I think that Charlotte should come through and like sort of little sister Tiffany Stratton. Like, be real dismissive of her. And Bayley should be the one that's like, approaches Tiffany and you.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Tiffany's going to be like, what, you want to throw down? And Bayley's going to be like, no, you earned my respect through our match, and I'm going to give you some advice. Don't let her treat you like this. Don't let her walk all over you, because if you do, you will lose. She will take advantage of it because that's what she relies on. And it's sort of this thing that we just saw her go through with Nia, but she's got to go through it with Charlotte as well, because Charlotte holds a different, like a different amount of juice than Nia does in that sense. So I think that it's going to end up with Charlotte and Tiffany going like a double swap or double turn. Rhea runs into Io backstage. She gets attacked by Liv and Raquel. Rhea runs them off. Jonathan Cronus says, can WWE go back to using CFO's theme like they have for AJ Styles and Bianca from CFO? I am so glad they moved back to the old AJ Styles theme. Hopefully that is the case. What does it say that when bringing back AJ Styles, they didn't even mess with the new theme? Because they know it doesn't. They know it's not as good. What? It's cost a few more dollars to go with somebody like an older group? Who cares, man? You tout all this money you're making on merchandise and all that. Like, is it that much more? By all means, you use whatever the best theme is. You know, an interesting one is that Natalia's theme has somehow survived through every regime, right? Like, I think Natalia's is a Jim Johnston, right? God. I think it is. That thing's been around for like 15, 16 years. Interesting. Mr. Nice Guy Rice says, what you read at the moment on Cena's comments at the presser? Was annoyed at first, but maybe after rewatching, feels like maybe a heel turn is coming. I think there is less than a 5% chance of a heel turn coming. I do not think that there is a heel turn coming at all for John Cena. Especially now, I don't think that there's a heel turn coming. No way. No, they at this point have done so much to establish him and put him on this final run. And If it was going to happen, it would have happened years and years ago. It's not going to happen during the run where he's actually getting cheered. Vin says, any truth to rumors of Trish, Tiffany, and Toronto at the Chamber? I have not seen this whatsoever. Riccacino, who hosts our Collision show in the box, suggested, you know, I could see Trish going on a run and doing the Toronto show. And it made an awful lot of sense to me. But I have long heard that Trish has been considered, like before Raw, on the Raw on Netflix debut, I heard that she was considered, but or discussed. But then when I asked somebody, they said, yeah, well, she pitches stuff all the time, so that's why she's discussed. But I haven't heard that. Will says, not going to lie, Charlotte versus Julia would cook. Yeah, it absolutely would. It absolutely would. Tell you what else cooks. Nord. There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Man, Nord has just entered a new era of usefulness, guys. Like, I've got Netflix, and I just changed my virtual location to the UK, and I watch WWE Raw without commercials. And then on Tuesday, I'm watching NXT on that as well. And then Friday, SmackDown on that as well, without commercials. It is so beneficial. I love it. Use it all the time. Get my AEW pay-per-views at a much lower rate as well. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. If you don't mind, retweet our streams, post the YouTube link, all that stuff. It goes a long way in helping us. Jay Hudson says, what company do you think Josh Alexander signed with, WWE or AEW? Just wanted to say how much of an inspiration you are. Grandma would be proud of you. Jay, thank you. That means so much to me. Thank you. That really does mean a lot. I feel like NXT really needs Josh Alexander. That men's end could use some more seasoned professionals that can help them, can help teach people to work on TV. And then when the time comes, he can do his main roster run as well. But I think that would be the ideal place. Bad Robot says, what if they bring back Becky through the Tiffy Charlotte feud? Charlotte big leagues Tiffy and Becky returns, reminding her of their NXT match. I think Becky would be wonderful in that spot as well. Ya boys at Fightful Select reported that Becky was not in town for the Royal Rumble. I do not know why people put that out there. That was absolutely incorrect. She was at home chilling. She was not planned for the Royal Rumble. She was not discussed for the. Okay. I shouldn't say she wasn't discussed, but by last week, she was not expected to be in that Royal Rumble. But Becky being involved in something like that would be pretty integral, and I think would add a lot to that program. But Becky's got to have her creative as well. Jonathan Corona says, can WWE go back to using CFO's theme like that? Oh, we read that one. My apologies. Alpha Academy interview interrupted by A Town Down Under, and also American Made has started their conquest to conquer Lucha Libre. We also had a face-off with the War Raiders and the Creeds. I would just love to see the Creeds get some damn wins. That's all. Ryan says, do you think Gable is Mexico or Japan bound for a match? No, I think they'll bring people in. And I think they should. I think it'd be great if you like brought in like Juventud Guerrera and stuff like that. Like brought in some people to do some one-off matches. Like create a little bit of buzz around that. New Day defeated Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee, a team that I've wanted for quite some time, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee, and I think they would work really well together. Now, this was largely done to promote the Elimination Chamber qualifier with Logan Paul and Rey Mysterio next week. Logan Paul actually at the show, got involved, cost Rey Mysterio the match. I thought that was good because, one, it gives New Day a win. It promoted the match for next week, helped get Logan Paul over as a heel, helped sympathize on Rey. I like that they brought up that Kofi Kingston was burying Dragon Lee for spending time with his family while his wife had a child. But the real discussion was the New Day theme, and I want to know what you guys thought of that new theme. It had to happen, right? They still had the little, like, it's your boys, the New Day, at the start of it. But it had to happen. They had to add to it. And that is one of the I think that was that a CFO's theme? Somebody looked that up for me. Was that CFO's or Jim Johnston? But it had to happen. You couldn't have them dancing along to the same old theme unless it was something that they sarcastically did. Uh-oh, Redacted is here. Shout out Ibu. Spoke with Ibu quite a bit this weekend. It was lovely to hear from him. Jim Johnston theme, Luis says, for New Day. Not the new one, the old one. Liv Morgan defeated Io Sky. Man, they had a slapper. Listen, it is such a WWE thing to be like, listen, girls, know y'all worked 65 minutes in that Rumble. I know y'all really just put in that work. But we're going to need you to go out and have a slapper tonight as well. We need it. We got to have it. And they did. I personally, if I were them, I would have waited a week. But hey, I'm good. Because I got to see this match. Normally, I would say, man, I do not like a DQ finish. I actually liked it. Matthew Hamm says, what was the purpose of Rhea costing EO on Raw? Was it to set up a match? Because they did teasers on it earlier as well. They did. Kale saying, Sean, not to scoop bag, have you heard if EO Rhea has been even mildly contemplated for Mania, or is Belair Ripley the most likely candidate? I have not heard EO and Rhea discussed for Mania. What I have heard was that Rhea and Bianca was the plan as of a couple weeks ago, but these Mania plans are very fluid, guys. Very, very fluid. So what I would expect is Rhea to give Io a title shot to make good on this in the meantime. I like this because Liv qualified without winning. And listen, I know her fans are going to be upset just because she didn't get the pin and she needed help and all that. But they'll be mad that she got rated 91 on 2K as well, even though it's a great rating. What I had the biggest problem with in this match was burying the ref by having Raquel interfere repeatedly. And then when Rhea interferes, well, then the ref sees it. I think you make the ref look really bad in that spot. But this match was a slapper. I thought the finish actually made a lot of sense. It got heat on Liv. It made Io sympathetic. It made Rhea look like, oh, she's not invincible. She can screw up. And I thought it worked really well. And it teased the friction between Io and Rhea, who had seemingly maintained that mutual respect prior. Lucky Charm says, Liv is my favorite for the 2026 Rumble in Saudi. She has a great history in Saudi with two title wins. Can't keep waiting. Her heel work is amazing. Well, she's got great history in the Rumble as well. Two
hour-long performances. She was the last eliminated last year as well. It's going to be one of those things where eventually it becomes a story that Liv Morgan, despite having been the champion, is in a always the bridesmaid, never the bride situation with the Rumble specifically. Vin says, is Nikki Bella back for a full-time run? Do you think she can hang in 2025 with the current women? Curious if Alexa can also. Both might be better in a tag team storyline. So I'll tell you what I expect. Or what I think would be good. They won't do it, but what I think would be good is you got the Wyatts, Nikki, and Alexa. You got Judgment Day, Liv, and Raquel. Those groups all together in a big, like, tear shit up match at WrestleMania. As for Nikki, I don't know what the plans are for her moving forward, but what I was told was she is expected to do more. Now, usually when somebody is just expected to do more, they're probably not going to be full time, but they will be around more often. When I was discussing this with people, it was largely intimated to me that this was not her last match, that there would be more in store, and that we had not seen the last of her. I guess we'll see. But I would be surprised if we didn't, because I know that she prepared for this. Who did Dakota Kai new theme? Jonathan Corona says, who did Dakota Kai new theme that goes with her? I don't know how to respond to that, but I don't know anything about Dakota Kai's new theme. Bad Robot says, yes, Becky would need creative as well. Who else did she face in NXT? Intercontinental Champ Lyra faces her at Mania, has a banger, goosebumps. So I think one of the qualms in the women's division is something that it was something I brought up when the IC and US titles were developed. Like, you got to have underneath feuds to get these people ready. Not everything can be a title match or a token tag team match. There have to be supplemental stories. That way you get to these title matches. That way you get to the contendership. That way it means something. Otherwise, if you're just handing out title shots, what does any title shot mean? I think you got to do it that way. You got to be able to develop contenders. I mean, Meechan and Chelsea did it so well that they made a title. It's just, unfortunately, we don't see a lot of non-title program pushes in that sense. And also, I'll tell you an issue regarding Becky. She has worked with like everybody. They've got to get people on her level to work with her. And even then, she was trying to get people on her level before she left. I'm so glad Roxanne's coming up, because it's finally somebody she hasn't worked with. I'm so glad that Jordan's in WWE. Like, I'm so glad that NXT has a whole new crop of talent to work with Becky. Because Becky's going to be around for years. Bayley versus Lyra next week as a chamber qualifier. She was in the crowd. Mr. Straightfire, thank you for the Humper chat. If you have anything to send with that, let Luis know. But if you don't, I appreciate the support. Get in those super chats and Humper chats. Again, guys, we got so much backstage news. I'm going to have an update on Jordan Grace's deal and plans for her on FightfulSelect.com on Tuesday. Now the best $6 a month in the business, or $64 a year in the business. William Rabb Jr. says, PWI says AJ moves to Raw, opponent for Logan. I think that's quite possible. And yes, it was made official. AJ Styles is moving to Raw. And Bron Breakker pops up and says, you better keep him away from me. Vin says, Roman really hurt or an angle? Great work. I think it was a way to keep him off TV, out of the Elimination Chamber, because otherwise, why wouldn't he be in the Elimination Chamber? It would only make sense for him to come back when the title programs are established as a result to keep him out of it. You know? Ryan says, I feel like Natty really wants to work NXT. Natty really wants to work. That's what Natty wants to do. Natalia Neidhart wants to work. She just wants to be involved in something. She signed a new contract and they have parked her. Why? Why? If you weren't going to use her, let her go. She could have done something somewhere, whether it be AEW or TNA or Japan or the Indies or something. She would have done something. Now, granted, listen, good for her. She's making a ton of money. But originally, they were going to have her with Pure Fusion Collective and turn her heel. Then they just decided not to do that. And now she's just chilling. Doing media with me is what she's doing. Telling me about how her new kitten pissed on TJ Wilson's sweatpants and he still packed them. Not knowing. That's what she's doing. But that woman wants to work. Like, I know her a little bit through doing media with her and doing interviews with her. She wants to work. And she would be open to almost anything creatively. She wanted to work in NXT. She wanted to help people. KE775 says, if it's CM Punk versus Roman at Mania, like you reported, what do you think they will do with Seth Rollins? Because it appears he's a central part of the story. So, important element of that. I didn't report it was going to be CM Punk and Roman at Mania. I reported that's what was being discussed. That was what was being planned. How did the main event of WrestleMania plans go last year, right? We are one Dwayne Johnson showing up and just saying, I'm doing it, away from the whole card being adjusted and shuffled. Now, granted, last year we were almost there as well, and it still changed, but right now, it looks like it's Punk, Roman, Rollins. And I think that would be great. There's a unique perception in wrestling that a triple threat feud or triple threat match maybe takes away from the match, you know what I mean? And I don't think that it does. I really don't. I think that it retains its luster because of those involved. Seth says that Roman is hurt and Sammy comes out as well. And Seth gives him a pep talk ahead of his CM Punk match, by the way. Balasab says, Sean, hope you're well. Have plans pivoted to Punk, Rollins, Roman in a triple threat? Feels weird without a title. I mean, it can feel weird without a title, but I mean, also these three have genuine dislike for each other. Seth Rollins does not like CM Punk. Roman Reigns does not like CM Punk. And Seth Rollins has reason to also, I mean, Roman Reigns has plenty of reason to go at Seth now for putting him on the shelf. It makes a lot of sense to me. I'd be fine with that. Overdrive Reality says, help, you're well. How do we contact you about being a guest at our gaming convention, the Midwest Gaming Classic? Sean@Fightful.com is how you reach me. Where's this at? Let me take a look. Let me take a gander. Where are you located? Milwaukee. I've never been to Milwaukee. Alex is from Milwaukee. Interesting. That looks fun. That looks fun. When is it? April 4 to 6. That one might be tough. Might be tough. But who knows? Who knows? Either way, there you go. There's a gaming convention in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, April 4 to 6. Check it out, guys. What would you do with Omos? I'd send him to NXT, says Ryan. I would as well. I would have him go in there and work and create a little bit of buzz in there and see what you can do with him. You send him to Noah. He created buzz. He got better. Give him the chance to get better. CM Punk versus Sami Zayn. Punk wins the qualifier. Good match. Good match. It feels so weird to see CM Punk wrestling on Raw. Now, I know we saw him on the Raw on Netflix debut, but that was like a pay-per-view, right? Like, I wasn't sure exactly how much we were going to see CM Punk wrestle on WWE Raw. This is the most we have seen CM Punk wrestle on TV in a 30-day span since AEW. Other than that, I know he did live events three times in like a week or so for the holiday tour, I believe. But this is the first time in a 30-day period he's wrestled on TV three times since AEW. Wow. Damn. Punk during the match. So WWE is headed towards that. Yeah, I mean, not headed towards. They are in that phase. And I saw Trevor Dame tweet this, and he's right. Like, WWE loves their big pops for the dialogue. Like, Punk going, "You're not on my level." And the face-off. Like, how many times did you see it in the Rumble? Like, they just face off and look at each other, and people go, "Oh, my God. The possibility is real." And it happens a lot in the women's Rumble, too, where people just look at each other and go, "Yeah, yeah, me, you, yeah," instead of just fighting. And people pop for it. People love it. And listen, that is as Hogan in the ring as you can get. Like, you get the reaction for doing nothing, then good. And it's more about, it is truly more about the story in WWE. But these two still had a good match. JM says there seems to be some picture issues with Netflix at the end of the broadcast, but Tap Sports here in the Philippines was just fine throughout. Gosh, I got the hiccups towards the end of this damn show. Sami Zayn nearly won this. And again, really great work between these two. This is the CM Punk that you want to see. You can still go out and have a slapper, man. Still have a slapper. And Sami Zayn continues to be a fascinating character. After CM Punk beat him, CM Punk shook his hand as to insinuate, "No, you are on my level. You are on my level." And you can tell that helped him feel some sort of way. But Sammy didn't really want to do it. He was just being a good dude. And then Kevin Owens showed up and said, "Nuh-uh, buddy. You've forgiven a lot of people, but this piece of shit, that's too much. That's too much." And beat the shit out of him. Package pile driver. Fahad says, "Is KO now a part of Raw? If so, SmackDown is screwed." I still think there's fluidity. That brand split doesn't mean a goddamn thing. Pardon my language. Doesn't mean a thing. Vince says, "Surprised KO did the package pile driver. He still has to close out Randy and both feel like Mania. Give them this Mania. Storytelling is not predictable." I don't know the status of Randy, like, at all. I have heard no update. He hasn't been around that I have heard. I haven't heard about him. I don't know, like, if he's, like, seriously injured or he just had time planned off or what that deal was. Haven't heard of him being backstage or anything like that. Ryan says, "I know the assumption is KO re-signed, but what's Sammy's status? They had similar contracts last time." With them being built to WrestleMania, I would be shocked if they both haven't re-signed. Now, both have also been fairly quiet on the matter, but I would say that both of them have re-signed. D'Lo says, "I will say, outside of the bad lag, Raw was good." Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. A lot of story progression there, which it's Rumble season, Mania season, so you're going to have a lot of story progression there. Guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. I want to know what you guys thought about Sami Zayn losing to CM Punk, about Kevin Owens turning on Sami Zayn. You had that great shot at the end of the show with Sami looking down, or with Kevin looking down at Sami with the Sami Zayn Jackass shirt, the Sami Zayn Forever shirt. KO Sammy with a big-ass Mania crowd, they deserve it. They do deserve it. And, I mean, they have been tied together for an awful lot of WrestleManias. They were in the ladder match together. They had a match, but it wasn't exactly, you know, the type of match you would want to have, the amount of time that you would want to have at a WrestleMania, the crowd you would want to have at a WrestleMania. Like, you want a full crowd. You don't want the Raymond James crowd that was like distanced and halfway, but they teamed together against Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan's return match. They teamed together in the main event of WrestleMania, like having a proper WrestleMania match. They can carry that story. I'm interested in it.
And especially because they got over the package pile driver heavily, heavily. Now, looking back, that really should have been what sidelined a lot of people. That should be like the new age punt, right? I've already had somebody hit me up and say, except being a guest at the Midwest Gaming Classic, it's a blast. I'll be a guest. We can do a panel on the best and worst wrestling games. It's Mr. Rightway. Lovely, lovely gentleman. Got to see him in Dallas at the ticketing event. What a wonderful dude he is. But yeah, well, we'll see. I don't like traveling these days, guys. I'm seriously a big question mark on Mania Week, which I don't go to Mania. I've mentioned this a few times. Like, I don't go to Mania. I'm here covering it with you guys. I'm here talking about it with you all. But I like being home. I love Lexington, Kentucky. Could Bianca at Mania involve Jade and or Naomi? The last I had heard, the plan is for Bianca Rhea. I have not heard of anything else since then. I have not heard any discussions about Jade being back. She was not discussed for the Rumble. She has been at the Performance Center training. And that's it. Could it involve Naomi? Sure, it could. They're tag champs, but I don't think it will. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. Subscribe. We got interviews this week. We got a lot of videos coming up this week here on YouTube. In addition to Beyond the Bell on Tuesday mornings, Grapsity on Saturdays, In the Weeds now on Fightful Overbooked every single morning. If you guys don't check out that show, Joel and Jeremy do such a great job. I do run-ins on that all the time. It's sincerely my favorite, like, wrestling morning show, to the point to where, and I don't listen to other wrestling podcasts. I just don't. But I had replaced my Good Morning Football with In the Weeds. Really enjoy them. Like, they even make jokes. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe Sean actually listens to another show on Fightful. But I love their show. They're killing it. Had an interview with Eric Bischoff today. Got one with Swerve that I did in Dallas, dropping on Tuesday. History of Tribute to the Troops, dropping on Friday. Lots of cool stuff. Vic says, is it about Sammy forgiving Jay, or is it about Sammy not helping him against Cody? I think everything. I think it's all of the above. I think it's Sammy forgiving Jay, Sammy forgiving Roman, Sammy like shaking hands with Punk, not helping against Cody. I think that he is the easy person for Kevin Owens to blame after Kevin Owens didn't win. And by the way, Kevin Owens is okay after that match. He got a lot of praise after that ladder match. Don't know about Cody. He's at least implying that he's still going to be on TV. So. But I think it is a cumulative effect. And right now, Sami Zayn is a very easy person to blame. I got somebody that sent a chat and they said, I noticed that you stream the show to your Twitter, Fightful's Twitter, Jeremy's Twitter, and Steven Jensen's Twitter. Why is this? And can I stream it? Listen, you would have to give us access to your StreamYard or to your Twitter account via StreamYard. Listen, if you are a larger Twitter account, we would be happy to stream our shows to your Twitter as well, if you give a damn about that. It only maximizes and opens up eyes. So listen, if you have a big Twitter account, yeah, we would love to have you guys effectively stream our show on Twitter and X. Hit me up if you do. Cog CG says, born and raised Chicago kid here. I've been reeling from Zach Levine, Luka, De'Aaron Fox trades, and I have to deal with Twitter being super weird about Jay. Chill out, guys. It's okay to enjoy wrestling. Yeah, man, I think Jay is a fine decision to win the Royal Rumble. I really do. It's a hell of a lot of better decision than the Chicago Bulls trading Zach Levine for nothing. What'd they get for Zach Levine? Like, what are the Bulls' payrolls right now? Let me look. Like, I know they got Vukovic on, however the hell I pronounce his name, on for a little bit, but I'm looking, like,
Yeah, they're done paying Lonzo this year. What they got to? I guess they got to hit free agency real hard, right? They paid Patrick Williams all that money. Are they expecting him to emerge? Are they going to maybe play him 30 minutes a game? I don't know what the Bulls are doing. It was like a salary dump for a good player. I don't know, man. I don't know. The Bulls have made some baffling decisions. Some baffling decisions. DNC Digital says, not to brag, but I'm 9,014 followers away from 10K. Yeah, I mean, the streaming our show on people's Twitter is a thing that people have commented about, because we do stream it to a lot, but we're trying to maximize eyeballs. Listen, I've got 300 and something thousand followers. I got a lot of people blocked too. So I'm completely not opposed to that, because the more people that watch, the better for us. But hey, by God, we are here every single night. We're here for NXT. We're here for Dynamite. We're here for TNA and ROH. We're here for SmackDown. We're here for Collision, pay-per-views. Beyond the Bell, Tuesday mornings. Grapsity, Saturday afternoons. And now In the Weeds every morning on Fightful Overbooked. I really want to encourage you guys to check that out. Most importantly, FightfulSelect.com. By God, guys, I want to thank you all so much. You guys have really showed out for the Super Chats and Upper Chats for this, my first solo show. I've had a lot of people asking, like, oh, are you going to bring on a new host? Man, I had like 20 people reach out to me in the first day, like 15 people while I was on the air last week. I just did 70 minutes by myself. If you guys think it doesn't suck, maybe I'll just hang out by myself for a little bit. I don't think I did too bad. I don't think I did too bad. Cog CG says, we got nothing for Caruso and DeMar. And with Zach, what the hell, man? Rumors about shopping Lonzo for second rounders. My diehard fandom is dying. Listen, I grew up in the 90s, so obviously I was a Bulls fan. We didn't have a local team. Hard to not be a Jordan fan. I am baffled at the decisions that have been made. Like, listen, in NBA in general, make some puzzling decisions. Like, just go back to the 2016 free agency and all the dumbass money that was spent. Like, the Lakers screwed up their franchise for a while just because they gave Mozgov all that money. But in the NBA, you trade like three or four first rounders for guys that are making $40, $50, $60 million a year and will play 60 to 66 games in a year. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Don't understand it whatsoever. But guys, thank you all so much. Man, this has been a crazy week, and I'm ready to keep it going. See you guys on Wednesday for the hump. Until next time, we're out.